I'll start by saying I moved to Virginia 3 years ago with my family from Los Angeles, and the move was sort of, you know, it wasn't easy, you know, and you know the changes were kind of significant, and so I'm here walking my dog down Monument Avenue in Richmond, and I'm trying to make sense of my life. And it just, you know, wasn't really making much sense. So, you know, when things don't make sense, you just try to say, okay, well, I'm part of the world and I'm part of the universe. And right above me on the sidewalk was this stick that was just dangling from a branch. And I said, well, if I want to be part of the universe, why don't I start with that stick?
Two years
later, I actually fished it out of the branch because I knew that if I didn't, it would fall on my head, you know? Because literally, this thing was right above the sidewalk, probably, you know, right where the ceiling is here. And so, you know, what I like about that is it's not a significant thing. It's just a tree branch. But when you walk under it for a couple years with your dog trying to make sense of the world, little things like that become significant. And how you pay attention to things around you become significant, you know, these commonplace things. And so for this sculpture here, I was thinking, well, I should have it relate to the idea of walking and have some kind of rhythmic and, you know, a repetitive form, you know, that sort of has the rhythm of walking. And these things sort of look like legs, and it's made of this bendable plywood, too. In a lot of my work, I don't really like straight lines or 90-degree angles. I like artwork that kind of is in opposition to the architectural and built environments that we find. You know, for this room, for example, is all right angles. So I like wiggly lines, and I like planes that are tilting at slight angles, you know, just to see if we as viewers can perceive these shapes that we're not used to, you know. So, you know, this is the main piece here. It's, you know, brand new, and I'm still trying to make sense of it. But, you know, Susan and I were talking earlier, and she was mentioning how this piece is, you know, it's very unfinished and raw, so you can see how it's made. All the tricks of the artist are revealed here. So you can see the nails, you can see the glue, you can see kind of, you know, pencil marks. Some of the other works in the show, on the other hand, I do paint the surface. You know, when you paint the surface, you cover up all of those clues. But then when you cover up the clues, well, it's less about me and how I make things, and it's more about how you interpret things. And I like that too. I like that wide dynamic and that spectrum of an experience for the viewers. Just this piece, for example, right here, you guys can't see, but you know, you will. There's a stick inside here. So again, it's kind of just a dumb thing you find on the ground. But when, you know, it's possible to transform these things into something that looks new. And I think I'll just stop there. That gives you guys a gist of where I'm coming from. Does anybody have any questions or?
What drives your sense of colors that you choose?
This piece, for example, I wanted to be graphic. This is called First Letter, and the idea was to see if I could make a stick, after it was transformed with fabrication processes, look like a sign or a letter. And letters are black, you know, typically. They don't have to be. You know, for that was just a graphic approach. And then it's just kind of an intuitive process. This piece behind you, for example, that was just from mixing paints I had around the studio. So that was just fun with color, you know, and trying to see if I could make something that wasn't too wild color, something muted. So again, that's more intuitive, you know, not very intellectual. But, you know, when you see color and you see forms that kind of, you know, speak to you, that's kind of what I'm after, a bodily, you know, relationship. And if it becomes conceptual after that, then that's fine. I think that's how relationships usually work. Does that make sense? Anybody else?
Oh, John, I'm curious. Uh-huh. Were you a painter first, or a painter?
Not really. I mean, I took painting in undergrad, but a lot of my sculptures historically have been painted until I moved to L.A. and I just stopped painting them. You know, everything in L.A. is exposed. There's no clouds. It doesn't rain. And, you know, I felt the artwork should be exposed, too. So when I came back here, well, we have clouds and weather. I'm like, wow, there's, you know. And I had some paint in the studio, so, you know.
Which area is stimulated more, L.A. or here?
They're so different, you know. You know, you're going to lose something, you're going to gain something. L.A. has problems just, like, for being in a family. You know, real estate is out of reach and schools are tricky, and I find Virginia to be very accommodating for, you know, a regular family. You know, well, I don't know if we, you know, I think we're regular, you know, but you know, it's a real practical answer, but you know, each place has something to offer, you know, and that'll be the case, you know, no matter where you're from, you know. Anybody else?
What about this piece?
That's more of a drawing. And if you look at this piece right here in the column and the pink piece on the wall behind here, those are siblings. Sometimes you create works that are sort of like a brother and a sister, you know? They're very related, but they're also very different. This is just a simple drawing that I didn't really invest too much thought in. But I've had it lying around the studio for a few years, and then I decided to make another piece off of it, and now they're communicating nicely. In a way, it's sort of grown up. So a lot of times you'll make something as an artist, and you can't tell whether or not it's good or bad. You just live with it for a while, and then it grows. Even though it really doesn't, you project that. But that's the fun of it, you know?
What's the material?
This is like a plastic wood composite. Sometimes I like fake wood, because it's fake and that's fun. And then this linear thing, that's like a drawing. I see this as like really related to drawing. But that's a simple like plumber's tube, like an aluminum stuff you get at the hardware store. And on top of that is just model magic. You know that like kid stuff you get? It's Crayola. The other one, that's more, you know, those are materials that'll stick around for, you know, a long time, you know, like cement and things like that. But, you know, these are playful materials, so, yeah.
If you sell a lot, make a lot of money, will you go back to L.A.? Or are you going to stay?
No. I live here. We have a house here as his home. Yeah, you know. It's like different chapters in life, you know. That I had a chapter there, now my chapter is right here, and you know, it evolves continuously. And the work is an index of that evolution.
What's your most LA work? That one?
Probably that one. I started that in my Los Angeles studio, then I couldn't figure it out. But you know, it's pretty subjective, you know.
Well, John, thank you.
Thanks for coming, everybody.